I heard about these three men, a Baptist, a Catholic, and a charismatic. They died on the same day and went to heaven. St. Peter met them at the gate, said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, men, your rooms aren't available yet." He didn't know what to do, so he decided to call Satan and ask if he'd keep them for a little while. And Satan reluctantly agreed. A few hours later, Satan called back and said, "Peter, you got to come get these guys. The Baptist man is saving everyone. The Catholic man is forgiving everyone. And the charismatic has already raised enough money for air conditioning." Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about you're going to laugh again. We all go through seasons of struggle and seasons where we're dealing with an illness, the loss of a loved one, a relationship didn't work out, we don't understand, doesn't seem fair. And it's easy to think that the suffering, the struggle, the weeping is the way it's always going to be. I met a young couple. They were in town for treatment at the medical center. He had just been diagnosed with a very serious illness, and as they held their two young children, they wept and wept, so devastated. But God never promised that we wouldn't have seasons of weeping and seasons of struggle. But Jesus said in Luke 6, "Blessed are those who weep now, for in due time you will laugh." The promise God makes us is the suffering is only a season. The weeping is not how your story ends. You're going to laugh again. God sees what you're going through. He knows what wasn't fair, the lonely nights, the pain, the heartache. The scripture says he's collected all of your tears. You may have felt alone, but he's been right there with you. And the good news is he's not going to leave you in suffering. He's not going to leave you brokenhearted, weighed down with burdens. 1 Peter says, after you have suffered a little while, not your whole life, not the next 20 years, after a little while, it goes on to say, God himself will strengthen you, establish you, and put you back on your feet. You may be in a season of suffering, a season of struggle. You feel stuck, your health, your marriage, your finances, seems like it's never going to get better. No, God himself is about to step in and do what only he can do. When you see how he restores you, how he pays you back for what was unfair, how he brings you out better, your mourning is going to be turned to dancing. Your sorrow turned to joy. That weeping turned to laughter. Don't believe those lies that you'll always be lonely. You'll always mourn that loss. Always be brokenhearted over that child. No, your time is coming. The psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Notice, weeping may endure. May means it's not certain, it's questionable. But here's the promise, joy is coming. Not maybe, not hope so, there's a good chance. The Most High God says joy is on the way. You're going to laugh again. You're going to dream again. You're going to love again. You're going to see God's blessing in such a way that all you can do is laugh. Laugh in amazement, laugh in gratitude, laugh at the goodness of God. This is what happened to the Israelites. They had been living in Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar came and attacked the city. He captured them all, put them in chains, and took them to Babylon. Here they were enjoying life, raising their children, going to work. Everything changed. Now they were in this season of suffering, being mistreated, wondering, God, where are you? Why is this happening? A year went by and they prayed for freedom. Believed they'd be released, nothing. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Finally, they accepted, hey, this suffering is our destiny. Being mistreated, taken advantage of, we just have to get used to it. Psalm 137 says, they went down to the rivers in Babylon and wept as they remembered Jerusalem. They thought about what used to be, the joy they used to have. All they could do was weep. The Babylonians asked them to sing the songs of Jerusalem. Let us hear those joyful melodies we've heard about. The Israelites said, how can we sing? We're in mourning. We're captive. Our hearts are heavy. The pain is too real. The suffering too great. They hung up their harps on the willow trees. They put away their instruments in that season of weeping. Sometimes we think it's weak to weep. Come on, be strong. Get it together. But God made us to feel things. There are times the pressure is so great, the loss so heavy, the disappointment so discouraging, we don't think we can go on. That's why he said weeping may endure for a night. You may go through a season of weeping, something that's breaking your heart, feels too much to carry. Weeping is not a lack of faith. Doesn't mean you're not tough enough. It means that your heart is working. It means that you care deeply. One time David came back home and saw how his city had been attacked. All the women and children were kidnapped. The scripture says he wept until he could not weep anymore. Now David was a warrior. He had killed a lion and a bear with his hands. He had defeated Goliath. He was this strong, feared, courageous leader. But there were times he felt so overcome, so heavy that he wept. And that's the way the Israelites were. There was nothing they could do. The Babylonians were stronger. They were slaves, and the Babylonians had more people, more equipment. It looked like the suffering, the heartache, the weeping was permanent. How could they ever break free? But here's the key. God has already scheduled a time to end the suffering. He's already set the time to end the heartache, to bring you out of what's held you captive, to turn around what's causing the tears. Now, after the Israelites had suffered a little while, after they had gone through that season of weeping, God himself said, I'm coming down to do something about it. God is not going to let someone continue to mistreat you, to keep you at a disadvantage, where that burden, that heaviness becomes permanent. You may not be able to do anything about it. It's too much for you, but it's not too much for our God. One touch of his favor and things will shift. Chains will break. That child will turn around. That addiction will be broken. That sickness will come to an end. The scripture says, God turned the captivity of the Israelites. God freed them. God is about to turn some things in your life. Turn problems around. Turn loneliness around. Turn finances around. Turn your health around. The Israelites were weeping. It's not like they had this great faith. They were super strong. No, they were discouraged. They had accepted that the suffering, the struggle, the hardship was their destiny. But God is so merciful, he's not going to let the suffering continue. You may go through seasons of weeping, seasons of sorrow. It's not fair. You don't understand it, but it's only a season. It's not permanent. It's not going to last a lifetime. Well, Joel, I don't know. I don't see how my situation could ever work out with what I've been through, what I'm up against now. How could I ever be happy again? You're looking at it in the natural, but God is supernatural. He is not going to leave you in a broken place, a wounded place, a lonely place. He wouldn't have allowed the suffering if he wasn't going to bring you out better. That suffering is a setup for God to show out in your life. He turns mourning into dancing. Sorrow into joy. The greater the adversity, the greater the joy. The greater the suffering, the greater the blessing. The Message translation says, the suffering is not forever. It won't be long before our great God will put you together and have you back on your feet. He has the final say. Yes, he does. You may be in a season of struggle, but God is saying, it won't be long till I have you back on your feet. It won't be long till you see your health turn around, till that child gets back on course, till that situation in your marriage resolves. It may look like the enemy has won. Like the Israelites, he has you captive. Seems permanent. The good news is God has the final say. He's in control, not just of your life. He's in control of your circumstances. Nothing can stand against him. When it's your time, doors will open. Freedom will come. Healing will show up. Good breaks will find you. The scripture says, when God turned the captivity of the Israelites, it was like a dream. Their mouth was filled with laughter and their lips with shouts of joy. Imagine the Israelites back home in Jerusalem, laughing with their families, singing songs of joy. These were the same people that earlier thought the suffering was permanent. The same ones that were sitting by the rivers in Babylon, weeping, weeping, thinking they had seen their best days. Now they're not only free, they're not just back home, but they're filled with laughter. Their joy is overflowing. That's the way our God is. He's not going to just bring you out. He's going to make the enemy pay. All the suffering, sadness, heartache, God is going to pay you back with more joy. You're going to be happier than you've ever been. You're going to laugh more than you've ever laughed. Like with them, when you see what God does, it's going to be like a dream. You're going to be amazed at how God restores you, re-energizes you, takes you where you never thought possible. When my father went to be with the Lord, that was the biggest challenge that I had ever faced. I didn't see that coming. I went through that season of sorrow, missed my father, a season of struggle, trying to learn how to minister and figure out who I was, how to overcome negative voices. Many nights I'd get up at 3 a.m. to write my messages, not sure if I was going to finish on time. It was stressful. At times I felt overwhelmed. But I've learned in those seasons of suffering, seasons of struggle, something is happening on the inside of us. There's a strength, a perseverance, a resolve that's being developed. If we have the right attitude, we're learning to trust God in a greater way. Even when we feel weak, when we don't think we have the faith, God is using that struggle in ways we can't see. It's not working against you, it's working for you. It's getting you prepared for something amazing that's coming. Now, after I had suffered a little while, not my whole life, God turned things in my favor. I can say like the Israelites, it's been like a dream. I never imagined where God was taking me. But here's the point. When you're in the suffering, you're in the struggle, in the mourning, you can't see what God is about to do. Most of the time, God doesn't show you what's in store. All you can see is more of the same. Man, the Babylonians are bigger. There's no way I can get out. No way I'll get well. No way I'll be happy after this breakup. Don't let the size of the Babylonians fool you. Don't let those bad breaks, what you've been through, convince you that the suffering is permanent. In just a little while, our great God is going to show up. Not only turn it around, but he's going to fill your mouth with laughter. That means no more heartache, no more suffering, no more loneliness. God is about to do a new thing. He's saying, you've suffered long enough. You put up with the trouble, the heartache, the sorrow, those tears of sadness are coming to an end. You're going to see tears of joy, tears of gratitude, tears of thanksgiving, amazed at the goodness of God. There was a young woman that came down for prayer with her husband. She was expecting her first child. She was 12 weeks pregnant, but she unfortunately lost the baby. This was her 6th miscarriage. She had not carried a child ever this long, and she had had her hopes up. She believed this would be the one, but it didn't happen. And she was telling me here, these big tears were streaming down her cheeks, and her husband was weeping beside her. That pain is real. The heartbreak is heavy. The beauty of our God is he can feel what we feel. When Jesus saw Mary and Martha weeping over the death of their brother, the scripture says Jesus wept. What's interesting is he already knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He already knew it was going to have a good outcome, but he was moved by Mary and Martha's tears. He could feel their heartbreak, their sorrow. He began to weep with them. There are times that life throws us such a blow, all we can do is weep. But know this, when you weep, God weeps. When you're heartbroken, God feels it. When you don't think, now I'm going to weep, y'all. When you don't think you can go on, you feel overwhelmed, God is right there with you. The scripture says he's close to the brokenhearted. And I told that young couple what I'm telling you, that you may be in a time of weeping, but joy is coming. Being heartbroken is not how your story ends. I love what Jesus promised. Blessed are those who weep, for in due time you will laugh. It seems like he would say, you're blessed when the problem turns around, not when you weep. You're blessed when you're promoted. You're blessed when the healing comes. But he said, you're blessed when you weep, when your heart is broken, when the load seems too heavy, you're blessed because he's about to step in and turn things around. He's about to make up for what you've lost. He's about to pay you back for the trouble. Those tears are painful, but God is about to fill your mouth with laughter. When you're in those suffering seasons, those weeping seasons, those seasons of struggle, you need to keep this promise in your spirit. I may be weeping now, but I know joy is coming. These may be tears of sadness, but I know I'm going to laugh again. We prayed and that couple went back to their seat. 2 years later, they came to the reception after the service. She had the biggest smile. Her husband was beaming from ear to ear. They were each holding a 9-month-old baby. They had had twin girls. Those same tears were flowing down their faces, but this time they were tears of joy. They were tears of gratefulness. She said, we're so happy. We were believing for one child. We never dreamed God would give us two. That's the way our God is. He's going to pay you back for the suffering. He's going to take what was meant for harm and turn it to your advantage. I can't promise you that you won't have suffering. You won't have tears, things that are not fair, burdens you don't deserve. But I can promise you, God feels what you feel, that he's right there with you, and that the suffering is not permanent. There will be a time when the suffering is gone and you have the baby. You have the promise. You have the healing. You have the victory. You're not just out of the hardship, but you're amazed at what God has done. Psalm 126 says, those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessings. Yes, we all have times when our hearts are heavy. We go through loss or get a bad medical report. Not being treated right on the job can feel like a dead end, like it'll never change. But look at the rest of the scripture. Your heart may be heavy, but you're going to come home laughing. How? With armloads of blessings. That tells me God is going to make the enemy pay for the trouble. He's going to bring you out better than you were before. That young couple standing in front of me were holding two babies. That was literally armloads of blessings. You may have something heavy on you today, like you're carrying sorrow, carrying pain, but God's about to do an exchange. Instead of carrying the pain, not being able to have those children, how about carrying two babies? Instead of carrying the sorrow, how about carrying joy? Instead of carrying the hurt from that breakup, carrying the loneliness, how about someone great walking into your life? Now you're laughing, you're dreaming, living a victorious life. That's how good God is. You go out with a heavy heart and you come back laughing, loaded down with blessings, with favor, with peace, with victory. In the scripture, Job went through a season of suffering. There was a lot of pain and heartache, and he had done nothing wrong. The scripture says Job was blameless. He had integrity, that he stayed away from evil. Everything was going great, and then the bottom fell out. Lost his business, lost his children, lost his health. Sometimes when it rains, it seems like it pours. Thoughts will try to convince you that the suffering is permanent, that it's too bad, been too long, there's no way it could work out. But God won't let you get in a problem that he can't bring you out of. The enemy is not in control of your life. God is. Satan had to ask God for permission to test Job. He didn't just come in and put all this trouble on him. There's a bloodline around your life that the enemy cannot cross without God's permission. That's why we can stay in peace even in times of trouble. Sometimes it's just a test. How are we going to respond in the suffering seasons, in the seasons of struggle? When it's not fair, we're doing the right thing, but the wrong thing has happened. Job was so distraught that he tore his robe in grief and he sat down among the ashes. After all the heartache, the loss, he was overwhelmed. You can't just pray that away, have enough faith so it doesn't affect you. It's okay to feel things. It's not a lack of faith to say, God, my heart is heavy. I'm grieving. I don't think I can go on. When Jesus was on the way to be crucified, He fell down under the weight of the cross. He couldn't carry it anymore. Here, he's the Son of God, yet in his human body, he didn't have the strength. God didn't say, "What's wrong with you, son? You need to be tougher, stronger." No, God sent a man named Simon to carry it for him. And sometimes you can't carry the weight of what you're under. You can't carry the pressure. And Job was honest. He sat down in those ashes. He said, "God, I can't take it anymore." Then he started complaining. He said, "Why was I born? You should have let me die at birth. God, I hate my life." He didn't hold anything back. One thing I love about God is he's merciful. He doesn't hold things against us. If we had to perform perfectly, never complain, always have strong, unwavering faith, none of us would have a chance. But God knows when the pressure is so strong, the weight so heavy that you can't carry it by yourself. And Job finally got past all the doubt, the fear, the self-pity. He looked up and said, "I know my Redeemer lives. God, even if you take my life, I'm still going to trust you." While Job was sitting in the ashes, boils all over his body, going through loss and heartache, God said, "I will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy." I'm sure Job thought, "God, are you kidding me? You're telling me with all this trouble, all this heartache, the bad breaks, that I'm gonna laugh again, that I'm gonna be happy, that I'm still gonna enjoy my life?" That's the promise all through the scripture. Weeping endures for a night, but joy is coming. After you've suffered a little while, God will step in and put you back on your feet. And that's what happened with Job. God not only healed him, not only restored what he had lost, but he gave him twice what he had before. He had twice the cattle, twice the sheep, had more children. Like the Israelites, he went out with a heavy heart, but he came back full of joy with armloads of blessings. The scripture says after this challenge, Job lived 140 years and enjoyed his children and grandchildren for four generations. He died an old man, having lived a long, good life. Some scholars say that whole trial lasted less than a year. It wasn't decades of his life, it was just a season. Now, all of us are gonna have some of these seasons of suffering, seasons of struggle, seasons when it's not fair. Like Job, you'll be tempted to get bitter, blame God, give up on your dreams. But you have to remember, God is still on the throne. The enemy didn't take control of your life. God is going to yet fill your mouth with laughter. He's still going to bring you home with armloads of blessings. Not the same way you were, but stronger, healthier, promoted at a new level of your destiny. I talked to a young lady from Africa. Her dream was to get her doctorate so she could become a professor. She finished her master's and was studying for her final exams to get into the doctorate program. Her landlord told her that she had to move out of her apartment. He broke the lease without any warning. She had to move into the dorm. It was right in the middle of her main exams, and it threw things off to where she couldn't study. She ended up getting turned down for the program. She was so discouraged. She was mad at the landlord, mad at herself. She had applied to 16 different universities and was turned down each time. Every door closed. Looked like her dream had died. She told how she was heartbroken, how it felt unfair. She was in that season of struggle, that season of weeping. For a time, like Job, she sat down among the ashes. She thought it wasn't meant to be. She had applied to this very prestigious university in Italy. They liked her, but they had 12 people on the waiting list in front of her. But 2 weeks before school started, they emailed back and said, "We've never done this, but we're going to open a position just for you." When she arrived, they informed her that out of the hundreds of doctorate students, she had been chosen as one of the six to be enrolled in the advanced study program. That meant she not only had a full scholarship, but she didn't have to live in the dorm. She would have her own executive apartment in a beautiful neighborhood by the university. She was so excited. She said, "This was more than I ever imagined." What am I saying? God knows how to pay you back for the wrongs. He knows how to turn your sorrow into joy. She went out with a heavy heart, but she came back laughing with armloads of blessings. That suffering is a setup. It's God positioning you for something greater. That's going to feel unfair, overwhelming. Why is this happening? God knows what he's doing. He may not have sent it, but he's going to use it to move you into your purpose. God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby in the scripture, but they were way too old. Sarah had been barren her whole life. And back in those days, if the wife didn't have children, they were looked down on and seen as not up to par. Sarah heard this promise, but it was so far out, she laughed in disbelief. She thought, how could an old woman like me have a child? Years went by and no sign of a baby. I can imagine Sarah seeing other women laughing, having children, playing. Thought, God, why won't this happen for me? She finally accepted that it wasn't meant to be. But just because you give up doesn't mean God gives up. At 90 years old, against all odds, she got pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Isaac, which means laughter. She said in Genesis, God has brought me laughter, and all who hear about this will laugh with me. She laughed the first time in doubt, in skepticism, thinking there's no way. She thought she was done, but her next laugh was in amazement. You may have had disappointments. Things haven't worked out, and you're in that suffering season. You think the struggle, the weeping is the way it's always going to be. Well, like God did for her, you're going to laugh again. It's not too late. You haven't had too many bad breaks. God sees what you've been through. He sees what wasn't fair, and he's yet going to fill your mouth with laughter. I believe and declare that season of struggle is coming to an end. The suffering season has run its course. You're going to feel that heaviness lift off of you. You're about to come into armloads of blessings, something that you cannot explain, the goodness of God, in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, stick with me, Lord. I thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood. And Lord, I thank you, just like we declared, I think of that suffering season is coming to an end. And Lord, I thank you that this word will take good root in our heart, Lord, that even in these times of struggle, that we'll trust you, that we'll know that we know that you're still in control. And Lord, like you did for the Israelites, I thank you that you're turning the captivity, bringing us out with laughter. Lord, I speak blessings over your people, and joy and peace, protection over them and their children as they go about the week. Lord, do what only you can do. Our eyes are upon you today, Lord God. We know you're a God of justice, that you'll make wrongs right, that you'll still get us to where we're supposed to be, in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I'd love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate, recommit your life to Christ. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it this morning? The enemy in your thoughts will tell you, do it later. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Don't put it off. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of so many people. I have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood. Let's give them a clap as they stand all over. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few more. Anybody else? Take that step of faith. Come on, still time for you. Start the year off right. Your heart's beating fast. Anybody else? Watching, listening? Anybody else? Still time for you. Anybody else? Please remain standing if you don't mind. And let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. And more importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God's never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Would you all pray this after me? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing one more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. Also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment, just like you go to work, that you're going to be here in person, online, on the radio, however you do it for the next year. I'll make a promise before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. We have a great class after service called New Beginnings. You can start at any time. You take it online. There's classes for the marriages after, relationships for women in that building adjacent. It's all online as well. But know this, when you keep God first place, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, your new week goes better. So I hope you'll take me up on that challenge. Know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You're starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, January 22nd, 2023, a new day of victory in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together, if you would, please. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, let me speak the blessing until we meet again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. We love you very much. Have a great week, a favor-filled week.
Well, welcome back. We're so glad that you came back to join us. A special shout out to our Sirius XM radio listeners. You know, it's always great that you are listening in. Know that we are praying for you, and we're so happy that you're a part of the extended Lakewood family. But what an inspiring message that was. Why don't you drop down right now, even in the comments, let us know what are some things that stood out to you. I took so many notes, and I want to just share some with you as you are typing them even now. But what are some thoughts? What are some of the nuggets of wisdom that Joel shared with us? I loved this one. It was that weeping doesn't mean that you're not tough enough. It means that your heart is working. Isn't that good? Because I think sometimes we feel like, well, this is a sign of weakness, or this is a sign that I don't have enough faith. But the reality is that we feel things, and that's how God wired us. And I just love just even the message. Here's something else. If you're suffering now, know this, that God has already scheduled the time for your suffering to end. It's only a season. It's only a season. That God wouldn't have allowed the suffering if He wasn't going to bring you out better than ever. I love that. Don't you love that? Hey, well, I want to give a special shout out to a few individuals right now. In fact, we had a few names that popped up, and I just want to say congratulations to those of you who said yes to Jesus today. What an amazing decision that you made, a decision that will change the rest of your life, the trajectory of your life, whether you said yes for the first time or maybe you rededicated your life. And so here are a few names. Jeanette from Pennsylvania. Congratulations, Jeanette. We've got Marcia from Alabama. Amazing, amazing decision, guys. This can never, ever get old. This Rachel, listen to this, Rachel from Florida. Congratulations. How about this, Dorothy from the Philippines. Dorothy, we're so proud of you. Stephanie from the Dominican Republic. And Mark from Singapore. As you can hear, there are names from all over the world, people that have accepted Jesus as Lord of their life. And so we believe that this decision that you made is going to just, it's the best decision, the best decision. And so I just want to encourage you to keep listening, if this was your first time hearing, or if this maybe this is your first time responding, but keep coming back, keep joining us, and be a part of this community. You know, we have a class that's designed to help you grow in your faith. It's called New Beginnings, and you can take that class online at your own pace. If you're domestic within the U.S., just text the word new to 77377, but in the comment section, we'll let you know how you can take that class online as well. But congratulations again. We're so incredibly proud of you and the step that you've taken for yourself and for your family. But listen, you know, Sundays aren't the only days to stay encouraged. Be sure to like and subscribe, especially our YouTube and Joel's podcast, and just be encouraged all throughout the week. Cannot wait to see you again next Sunday. God bless you guys. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next time.